88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Inches away from splitting your shit wide open. No stitches can save you. Die with jive. Open your hope. This isn't the way. weed to plate your beer muscles. Weird puzzle in the crowd starting to cheer us. And adrenaline rushing through us just like a geyser gushing. Too much Budweiser in my blood. I'm strangling you and pipe for nothing. My signature is ligature marks. Look at you all big with your remarks. And I swing a knife, pick at your heart. At least that's what it feels like when I pick you apart and dig at you and break you down like a bitch that you are. The predicament starts when I throw a brick at your car. The pain inflicted upon you is so sick, it's bizarre. Shit, this is almost ridiculous. It did get as far as having me want to rip out your freaking ligaments. Ah, you hit like a bitch. You scratch me with your nails for that. You catch an open hand slap like a female. Like bet. In fact, I'll have the crowd smacking you themselves. Where's D12? I don't feel like doing this by myself.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. It is July 12th, 2010. And you are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Start off the show today with my new favorite song. What's the deal, Radis? Off the Eminem Recovery album. This is only available off iTunes, I think. And then, of course, you can steal it online, like we can get pretty much anything today. Here in the early part of the 20th century, where we can see everything. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, if we like it, what's the deal, Radis? What are we up to? And so anyway, I copped this track. I saw it on some hip-hop site saying, yo, Eminem, you know, bonus track off Recovery. And so I was playing it, rapping it yesterday, wandering around, slapping up some posters, goofing on the New World Order, trying to get people hip to the idea that, you know. Well, look, I've been postering since Canada Day. So what, it's been like 10, 11 days. Not every day, you know, and but fairly consistently trying to get a read on what's possible in our culture. What can we do right now? Now, I know we can do nothing. Please, believe me. I know we can do nothing. I know I can do nothing. I know we can do nothing. There's no, and I mean nothing, I don't mean nothing. I mean something. I mean something fun, something silly, something whatever, something that we feel is productive, and just ignore this whole, you know, New World Order problem. But at the same time, if we do that, we're dead. And so, you know, I'm trying to figure out what, you know, well, okay, fine. So let's just say we don't want to be dead. And here on the 12th of July, 2010, you know, it stands for me to mention that I do talk about Mondays through Thursdays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., the machinations of the New World Order, the Anglo-American establishment, essentially. I guess super rich, bloodthirsty kings and queens found each other pretty sexy, and they you know, they intermarried over the generations, and you know, they fought with each other and stuff. But you know, they intermarried as well, and they're like, oh, dude, you can really kill and enslave people and steal stuff, man, that is so cool. And you know, and dude was like, oh, sweetie, you always know what to say to me. I don't know what I'd do without you, sweetie. And at the Tyrant Award shows, you know, a guy'd go up and thank his woman. And so you'd have like the the queen of it. For instance, half the damn British royal family is German. The queen's husband's German. And that is a merger of two sort of the German Teutonic, you know, royalty and the British Anglophile royalty. Because they realize that, holy crap, you're good at killing people and stealing stuff, and controlling them and enslaving them and getting them to do what you want. And so they looked at each other with stars in their eyes, and they decided to, you know, join forces as a family, because they know there's other groups in the world. This is a polycentric oligarchy, although it's getting more centric because of globalization. But here in this polycentric oligarchy, groups know they got to click up for survival. And it's the same thing in India in terms of arranged marriage. So just you folks out there know that, like, that's just that's what it is. It's like the reason your parents want you to marry someone who's of a similar background is for a variety of reasons, you know, so the families get along, because obviously families hang out, and you don't want to have two families that are too different. So the kids, you know, get a consistent sort of moral and cultural education and blah, blah, blah. But a big reason is that if you have anything, you don't want to lose it. And in this world, you know, you make the wrong connections and you could be SOL, as the kiddies used to say. I have no idea what the hell they say now. Oh, that is a three-letter acronym. So here in the text, Facebook, chat, Twitterverse, that may actually, that may still be in style or come back in style. But the point is that these people, you know, have, most people don't know that. Most people don't know that, you know, it's really the New World Order, the colonizers of the world, who have a front men, basically, central bankster front men, central bankers, political front men who control governments, activist and institutional front men, you know, work for foundations and NGOs and so on. And so there's all these people that are connected to this network, known, you know, informally as the shadow government or the parallel government, that moves behind the scenes. And, you know, there's a lot of arguments behind the scenes about how they want to move us, but one of the things they're pretty sure of is they don't want all of us waking up and flipping out over this. And as a result of that, it actually makes things easier for us here in the 20th century, 21st century, excuse my centuries, to move on them, because they got caught, and there's tons of information about how they got caught, and there's tons of information about what they've done to us to make it difficult for us to fight back against them, and so you know, we can just break that down. Well, all we have to do is apply ourselves in ballsy ways. I'm convinced it's not intelligence. Intelligence is not the problem. I kicked it in this city, in this country for years. I've been around the world too, and I know they're wackiness, and I know the glucose, fructose, my Arizona iced tea here, corn syrup, there it is, has mercury in it, and I know there's a million things that are dumbing me down, and I was probably a little smarter a couple years ago before all that fluoride and sucking back the chemtrails and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. But as you listen to this radio show here on the 12th of July, 2010, what did that train of thought start doing to you? And compare that train of thought to what you heard from Eminem and Dr. Dre with Riders, R-I-D-A-Z, of course, to start off the show. And imagine looking at the same basic information or setup from either of those perspectives. You know, because there's many ways to look at it. You could have the NPR, PBS, you know, sort of left-wing approach where a lot of the liars, and not everyone on the left's bad, but hey, at the top they're liars because they believe in the left and the right. And they convince, their people not to listen to those people, and those people convince their people not to listen to these people, and half the country thinks half the country's retarded. And just that whole situation is really stupid. I know people on both the left and the right. And they get the things right they're supposed to and the things wrong they're supposed to because they stick with that paradigm. But what they'll often do is they'll often speak to you like children in a very, very they're there. It's okay. You know, I got to turn my mic up for this. Here we go. You're listening to CBC Radio 1 here on CBC Radio, where we say things that are interesting for your benefit. On today's show, we that's how they talk. And to see it, PBS. This is PBS. Today, the plight of starving children in Africa. Isn't it horrible? And they talk about it in ways that make it difficult for you to react with anything but, you know, being irritated. And that's what it is. And so this is a program designed over generations to bring us to this point. But I am not of the opinion that this crap takes anything. Well, not anything. But it just doesn't take as long as people say it does. You know, this whole world of psychology and self-help and convincing you of what you are and that you're less than you are, all this eugenics, because the people at the top, the New World Order, the powers that be, the Anglo-American establishment, the European and nobility, American muscle and allies worldwide, like the Saudi bin Laden family set up by the British Empire in the early 1900s to say, hey, you guys want to be royalty? It's awesome. Once you start calling yourself royalty, everybody treats you like a king. And the Saudis are like, sold. So whatever. But there's enough dirt on these people. There's enough dirt on these people to air them out. And there's enough ways in our culture, from the magajillion to choose from, to get us the Co-Jones, the Stones, the whatever, to deal with it. So then it becomes nothing. If it's not intelligence, then it's just balls. You know, excuse my language. I think we can say that, you know, I don't know what the hell. But anyway, it's just balls. It's purely 100% balls. It's the balls to feel you can handle it. It's the balls to feel that you can handle any issues that people may have with you as a result of you handling it. And it's the balls to look at the world objectively and not just hope that, you know, your fantasy, you know, will prevail, because it just doesn't make any sense. But on that note, an Alex Jones video went viral recently. It's from the 8th of July, 2010. As the United States collapses, media worships LeBron James. And that's what it is because the media controls our conversations. And even now, when I'm going off in the G20 martial law situation, asking if men are, you know, will prevent it from happening again, will men stop martial law from being declared in Toronto again? You know, I realize that people want to move on because the corporations have given us something else to talk about today. And so if we move on from martial law too fast and we just get into what they give us, you know, we may miss, you know, Wagwan. See, here's Alex Jones.
Societies don't change, whether it was the Roman Empire or Nazi Germany. The population is obsessed with sports and petty celebrities. And the United States is no different. MSNBC, the New York Times, they're all reporting that we are going into a depression, one of the greatest depressions in world history. And our decadent, slob-like public, and that's not everyone, but large percentages of the public, could care less. They're not involved in their communities. We've got 46 states on the verge of bankruptcy. The government's raising taxes on every level. The border with Mexico is collapsing. Mexico has collapsed. And the public doesn't care because the media has set the agenda. And they tell you to care about LeBron James and his decision. And he's playing into it and is going to announce his stupid decision. It doesn't matter what basketball team he goes to. This is a distraction by design. We have the governor of the state he's currently living in a bizarre We Are LeBron, We Are the World literal worship fest with hundreds of celebrities. This is sickening.
Hey, LeBron.
Imagine the Ohio governor begging and pleading on television and serenading LeBron James with hundreds of other celebrities when Ohio is one of the states slated to go completely bankrupt. We're going into a depression. They're about to launch World War III with Iran openly. Fox News is reporting as if it's a good thing in New York State and Illinois that troops have helped arrest thousands of citizens and are doing gun sweeps in people's homes and searching people's cars. We're going in to martial law. Offshore banks have overthrown the U.S. They've stolen tens of trillions of dollars, like we're some third world country they're looting. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. So if you want to know why your children have no future, if you want to know why you're bankrupt, if you want to know why you're in debt, if you want to know why you have no future and have lost your job or are getting your pay cut, it's because your priorities are wrong. It's because you let that idiot box, the television, program you since the days that your mother and father set you in front of the TV for 12 hours a day in your crap-filled diapers. It's not too late to admit we're a sick, decadent, degenerate society crumbling. We are Rome. It's 4:10. We're about to collapse, ladies and gentlemen. I know you won't know. You know about LeBron James. You don't know 4:10 is when Rome completely fell to Alaric, the Visigoth leader. You better learn history. This is dangerous. Don't say you weren't warned. The globalist engineers, the globalist social engineers look at you and how pathetic you are, and how the whole world is waiting to see where LeBron James goes. The social controllers look at you and see how you're obsessed with LeBron James, and they decide, we got a bunch of schmucks, we've got a bunch of idiots, we got a bunch of morons right where we want them. Let's destroy their society. Let's loot it. Let's pass carbon taxes. Let's expand NAFTA and GATT. Let's announce an end to the dollar as the global reserve currency. You know what that means? We've already lost almost all our industry. We're already in a depression. When they get rid of the dollar as the world reserve currency, your life, as you know it, is officially over. You're going to be a third world slave like they are in Mexico or Nigeria. And you know what? Those people down there at least know why they're slaves. You are so stupid and so focused on crap, you'll probably still be talking about Lindsay Lohan when you're living as a homeless person on the street. My friends, we've got to set our priorities and set them now. Liberty or tyranny? You've got to wake up and decide what is important to you, saving our republic, stopping the globalist takeover, or knowing all the mindless trivia about LeBron James and Lindsay Lohan. There isn't much more time. I'm begging you to ask yourselves to look in the mirror and really realize how sick this is. It's not bad to like a basketball game, but it is mentally ill and sick to buy into this manufactured hype and to have government officials that should be working for the people sitting there in these disgusting media spectacles worshiping somebody. Our role models, our icons, the people that our children look up to and model themselves after are not inventors and scientists and trailblazers anymore. That's why America's gone from the greatest to the most pathetic in every statistical analysis you look at. And it's only getting worse. We still got a lot of great people in this country. But with Pete Rose and LeBron James and Michael Vick being our heroes, we're a joke. We're clowns. They've taken our heroes and our role models away. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been warned, and this whole LeBron James decision means absolutely nothing. This obsession with petty issues of little or no significance is the modern version of bread and circus. It is the opiate of the masses, and it's why we are dumbed down slaves with no future if we don't wake up. You have been warned.
LeBron came with a big-time focus.
LeBron James.
On LeBron.
And we're back, folks. Again, that was Alex Jones talking about, essentially what the program is. The program is to sneak a bunch of horrible stuff, you know, into our peripheral vision, and then have us train on something else with our main focus, so that, you know, the horrible stuff is stuff that we get scared at. And guys especially out there can't just do all the keep it happy. Oh, keep it happy all the time. Just keep it think positive. Keep it positive. All that crap. Because then they get paranoid and they get afraid of serious things. And if you're a man, women shouldn't do this either. This is just, you know, it's just tougher for them to try and break free of this. But guys should be scrapping on these issues more. And if they did, you know, there's no doubt that we'll be right there supporting them just like they would. Just like they want to, just like we've always wanted to, for years, for generations, for centuries. You know, men were like, I love my woman because she supports me. And men were, and women were like, I love my man because he protects me. And then in the 20th century, they messed around with all that through social engineering. Now, there were some good and bad things that came out of it, no doubt. Times change, innovations, and so on. But for the most part, what they tried to do is they tried the New World Order, that is, the people that promoted ideas like feminism and groupthink and socialism, you know, and all these, and psychology and self-help, you know, and the New Age. They tried to get the genders competing. And they said to women, you know, hey, go out there and be independent, you know, work for yourself. And meanwhile, they were like, we told them, you know, they were working for themselves, but we knew they were working for us because it was our companies. It was our corporations. It was our governments. It was our tax base that doubled. And we convinced all you chicks to go to work. And we got your kids early, earlier than we used to. And we could mess with their heads so that we could create the next generation of slaves to work for us. And so, you know, they do their thing. But you know what? You know what? We're here today. And the bottom line is that there are ways out of this. And I know there are ways out of this. Because I'm basically getting a read. I'm a certified whack job. I am not hiding it. And I'm trying to see if the info, if the methodologies are valid. And people are generally approving, at least in this city and in this country, and so that's good. But David Icke was on the Alex Jones Show from the 8th of July as well. And he's always interesting. So David Icke.
Whatsoever. I mean, I've seen it so blatantly over the last 20 years, gathering pace and gathering pace. There is an awakening going on. It's not the majority yet, but minds are opening. Now, as minds are opening, they're seeing what they couldn't see before. And what the cabal wants to do is keep those minds shut. And one of the most effective ways of doing this, is why we've got to stay really strong and focused in this period we're going through now. And it's going to be a number of years of major challenges. The way that they are seeking to keep us from awakening, to keep our minds closed, is to keep us focused on fear, keep us focused on survival, keep us bewildered, keep us in a state of constant anxiety about what's happening and what about the future. What about the kids? What about the job? The way of life in the Gulf has gone. Oh my goodness! A war in Iraq, in Iran now. What's going? Oh no! Now there's an economic depression. Oh my! This is all orchestrated to throw everything, not just the kitchen sink, but the plug as well, at humanity in general, so that we are so focused on survival and fear and anxiety that we don't go and continue this process of awakening, so we can actually expand our minds to see what the closed minds before could not see. It's a battle for our minds. It may not seem like that. It may seem like it's just another manufactured catastrophe in the Gulf, another war in Iran, another economic collapse. But all these things are orchestrated to fire at our minds, and our minds are the target, because from our state of perception of self and the world comes our behavior and our actions.
That's right. I've noticed the globalists dominate by just getting our attention and always creating new crisis, so we watch the mainstream television, so we pay attention to them, and they dominate how we dress and what we think and what we eat, and just literally get us sucked into this false tapestry, this false reality that they are projecting. And now they're openly saying they want to start shutting off the web, which shows that they realize they wanted to use it as a tool of domination, but that it's backfiring against them.
That's the word, Alex, attention. It's a battle for our attention, because the idea is to hold humanity in a state where we are filtering and seeing ourselves and the world only through the five senses. We are multi-dimensional consciousness, awareness. We are far, far greater than what we appear to be when we look in the mirror and say, that's David Icke, or that's Alex Jones, or that's Ethel Smith. And what they want us to do is keep our attention on the five senses. And that's what we do when we are in fear, when we are in anxiety, when we're worrying about the future, when we have this sense of fear of not surviving, that pulls us into the five senses, and that's what they're trying to do.
And then the system poses as the saviors and says, we'll keep you safe, just let us run your life. Stay there, David Icke, back in 3 minutes. A lot of key info straight
from his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, we've got David Icke with us for the rest of the hour. If you just joined us, former head of the UK Green Party, champion goalie, a BBC presenter, best-selling author, and always interesting to get his perspective on things. I always find it thought-provoking. And very apropos of what's happening in our world, we always find his perspective to be enlightening. David, instead of us getting into generalities or myself getting into long diatribes about my view of what's happening, today I really want to try to sit back. We'll see if I can do it because you bring up so many points that make me want to chime in and just throw out questions and get your take on it. The globalists are overrunning the West with third world populations. Why are they doing this?
Well, it's two things we need to know to get a perspective on the world is where this cabal wants to take the world and the methods they use to take us there. And where they want to take the world, of course, as we well know, is to a global fascist dictatorship with the end of countries, the end of borders, where basically you just have the world government dictating to massive regional blocks, and anything below that is just irrelevant. And one of the great barriers to that happening is the people's sense of their own culture, their own country, their own sovereign nation, if you like. And because people, if they have a real sense of country, and I'm not saying that I'm into all this, but a lot of people are, and this is the point from the cabal's point of view, they will resist giving that power away, say from the United States to the North American Union, in Britain to the European Union. And so the idea is to break down that sense of culture by basically breaking down the culture. And you do that by opening borders to other cultures. Now, I'm not saying one culture is better than another. I'm just trying to explain here what they're doing from their perspective. And that you let different cultures pour into the same area, and suddenly it becomes a cocktail. And there is no single culture anymore that people can identify with. And that is all the time loosening and weakening people's sense of need to resist the giving away of sovereignty to unions and to a world government, because they've lost the sense of culture that they had before. See, this is why what we're talking about here is happening all over the world, because, of course, it's a global agenda. In Europe, the European Union has brought down the borders all over Europe, and every time another country comes into the European Union, their borders come down, and they're the borders between them and every other country comes down. And so from Eastern Europe, for instance, people pour into Western European countries, and it becomes, again, exactly the same thing, a cocktail of cultures, which eventually becomes just nothing that really is something people can identify.
And the globalists can also play those different groups off against each other. Not only will they give up their rights, but then I see the trendies always counter back. Oh, well, it's like Star Trek, which we know is predictive programming. We'll all be unified in love. But this isn't some loving world government that we decided to lovingly join. This was covertly built. They now admit it was a covertly built, and it's authoritarian, dehumanizing, and its admitted end game is global depopulation.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a very, very interesting point, a very important point about playing one off against the other. You know, the people that pour from the poorer countries into the richer countries through the borders coming down are just as much pawns in this game as those in the countries, the indigenous population that are affected by that. It's not good guys and bad guys we're talking about here. It's different aspects of the human race being used as pawns in the same game. And this is why, instead of fighting each other, we need to start looking at what unites us all, which is the fact that we're all the target of this cabal, this global fascist dictatorship in the making, and the very fast making. I mean, we have proof in this country a few months ago now that during the Blair administration, they were allowing people immigration into Britain on a scale they weren't admitting to. It came out, one of the people involved blew the whistle on this. And what they were actually saying is they wanted to have so much immigration into Britain that it would, this is the quote, change British society forever. And in that one quote, we have the prime reason for bringing the borders down. This is what they've done in Europe. I mean, the government here now, the new government of Cameron, saying, oh, we must slow down immigration into Britain. But they don't say immigration. They say non-EU immigration, because they have absolutely no power whatsoever, because of the European Union laws now and the giving away of sovereignty, to stop anybody coming in from the European Union into Britain. And that's exactly the position they want. They're doing the same in America, of course, as listeners to this program will well know. And so anyone that challenges this in America, for instance, they're called racist and they're targeted by the federal government, as we're seeing in some states of America have tried to make a stand on this. And it's all orchestrated to break down and destroy a sense of what is it, what is America, of what is Britain, what is all these countries that are targeted. And like I say, this is not an attack on what we call immigrants. It's absolutely not, because they are as much pawns in this game as anybody else.
And David, let me just add a brief caveat to that. Absolutely. I mean, it's simple. Whatever the globalists are for, whatever they're really promoting in their councils, we've got to be against. If they're against disarming us, it doesn't mean there aren't some accidents and problems with having an armed society. We've still got to be for it. If they're trying to socialize health care, you get the legislation. It's a eugenics takeover, lowering the quality, raising taxes. We've got to be against it. They want to launch a new war. We've got to be against it. They want open borders. We've got to be against it. I mean, it's very simple. We know these are evil, anti-human, anti-freedom people, and we must stand against everything they stand for. Now, we can intellectualize and then always go down the road and look at why that's the case, but their interests are not the interest of free humanity. So it's very elementary for me.
That's a very, very good point. Let's get it real straight. These people not only don't care about us, they are antagonistic towards us. They want to destroy the human race and bring it under the heel of their global fascist dictatorship.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Man, I love this song. Just going through my head outside right now while I was having a smoke, and hopefully you enjoyed that clip. I heard it last night from the Alex Jones Show of David Icke, a gentleman who I respect a great deal. I think he's fantastic. I think he's a guy who can break down the human condition better than most, and he speaks in front of thousands of people all around the world. He's authored many books. He does get into some areas that I don't agree with, though, including he thinks that, the guys at the top are all lizards, and he gets into extra-dimensional New Age stuff. So when he gets into that area, that's where he and I part company, because I haven't seen anything, as convincing. Anything that convinces me, yet, I suppose. But anything's possible. These people are nuts, and they are. After years, the eugenic elite at the top are a different breed from us as they see themselves. They see themselves as better, as smarter, in their Darwinian survival of the fittest notions. They think that they have a right to rule and a right to kill us off in the same way any other predator has the right to, kill off and control its prey. And so that's how they look at us. And we've been managed for generations. In various ways, we've managed to break free at times. We've managed to maintain certain values. And that's why those values are under attack in the 20th century, especially with the advent of state-run education and, the national security states, massive governments worldwide, massive foundations and institutions. And I was on the foundation tip, for a couple of years right now. I was interviewed by Hip Hop DX online website, one of the biggest hip-hop websites out there, an article called Politics is Unusual. And I went at the foundations back then. Basically, I said, yeah, in the early 1900s, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, they were getting a bad name for breaking up unions, you know, shooting, you know, strikers and so on. And you know, between that and their social engineering think tank goals, they created foundations, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Mellon Scaife Foundation. There's thousands of foundations out there, and sub-foundations and so on. And through that network, they funded much of activism and academia. And that's why you'll see things like, you know, there's an upcoming protest, or maybe it just happened, I guess, maybe this Saturday, where it was G20 police brutality stuff. And I know what this stuff is, you know, because they say announced a day of action, and there's no action. I mean, it's a day, and there are people doing stuff, but you know, the New World Order, the guys at the top. Keep in mind, they came from royalty. I mean, it's essentially royalty. The Queen's here right now, and her family's behind a lot of this, and she's on half the money in the world, and you know, she's not exactly, you know, embarrassed about that. So the point is that they knew, these kings and queens knew, and they know, and they knew that people like to get together in angry mobs, and they would get together in angry mobs and they would storm the castle or whatever. And so what they did is they decided to arrange angry mobs through their control of activism, and they created the protest model, you know, in the early 1900s. And then stretching through to the 60s, of course, you know, here in North America and worldwide. And even Gandhi, you know, Mahatma Gandhi. And I'm a fan of Gandhi. I'm a fan of, you know, he says among the blackest deeds in British history was disarming the Indian people. And by that he meant worst. And so he was pro-gun, you know. And he says if the middle classes of India were to voluntarily render their help to government in its time of trial, then trust issues would disappear, and the people could be armed, and they could work together to defend the country that they're both a part of, and the same principles could basically work today, where we say, look, you know, we're gonna ask you to trust us, government, you know, with our rights to self defense in the broader sense, and the right to bear arms, of course, in the United States, although we do have certain rights here more and more. Consistently abrogated by our government.
Terry Urban. Spider-Man is tangled up with me. And I lost my head.
Commissioner!
So love you.
And thought of all the stupid things I've said.
Love all y'all. For real.
You are and so, you know, there's ways that we can approach the system to see, you know, what its reaction is. You know, some of the posters I was putting up yesterday in the annex for you know, like 8 hours, 9 hours, where you know, they say that you know, even though the international banksters who create a fiat money system where they print money out of nothing, they loan it to governments to get those governments in debt and under their control, and then those governments tax their people to pay it back. Even though you know, those central banksters, you know, loaned us all this money that they created from nothing, because it's all based on a fraud, we shouldn't pay it back. And we do have a Bank of Canada, bankofcanada.ca, whose charter states that they're supposed to help the Canadian economy, and whose charter states that they were only created to loan money to municipal, provincial, and federal governments. You can see a great film called Money as Debt, animated film by Paul Grignon, Grignon, for more on that. Money as Debt, a short film, half an hour, 40 minutes or so, and really breaks down the history of the banking system and the money system. Paul Hellyer, former Deputy Prime Minister, former Minister of Defense for Canada, and Deputy PM under Pierre Elliott Trudeau in the 70s. He founded the Canadian Action Party in the late 80s. He is still active today, federal party. You can run for MP and certainly getting the word out and keeping alive these ideas. Although they haven't won an MP seat yet, you know, because they're often slandered in the media and for a variety of reasons. But the bottom line is that Paul Hellyer, who was the second man in charge of, well, the second highest political position in this country, public political position outside of the technocrats behind the scenes, but the second highest public political position in this country under Pierre Elliott Trudeau, Deputy Prime Minister. A few years later, he takes a look around and goes, holy crap, I got to start my own party. Why? Well, one of his key issues was the Bank of Canada and the right and the need of Canadians to use the Bank of Canada to fund our infrastructure debt and interest-free. That's how this country was funded up until the 70s when Prime Minister Trudeau at the time started borrowing more and more from international bankers and using the Bank of Canada less and less. Now I think they make less than 5% of our money, something like that. It's an old number. I got to double-check these things. But but the posters I'm putting up in the annex say, you know, we have this, and maybe our politicians don't know it, but, you know, it would be interesting to see how they act if they learned it. And that would be neat, you know, because it would be neat if a bunch of us asked the system and different institutions a bunch of questions, you know. Hey, Gap Kids, you know, you want to look into some of these issues affecting the health of children before you, you know, slap them up all over your advertising. Same with you, Shriners. You know, look into genetically modified foods, the effects of sucralose or Splenda or aspartame on the brains of children. Turns into formaldehyde, messes up your brain. So stay away from the diet stuff if you can. And so there's the risks of vaccines. And, of course, the option of exemption forms for parents that are legal, just not, you know, publicized much. So, you know, we can definitely, you know, bother people like the Gap Kids people and the Shriners and governments and politicians themselves, you know, with this type of information. And MSG, the effects of excitotoxins on kids' brains. You wonder why the kids are acting crazy? Because the murderous eugenical elite at the top of the New World Order want to kill us all, and so they're poisoning us, and as a result of that, when you're poisoned, sometimes you act crazy. And so if you're a parent out there, you can take these steps. And I got some good news on that front, in the sense of my cousin. I dropped off some info, Communist Canada style. I can't talk to people about this because people are afraid of me, which is fair enough, you know, because if you mess with me, well, you're going to get messed up. But whatever, you know, I left some stuff at his house, and then I caught an email exchange, a little group email exchange where he was talking about how, and this wasn't even on my stuff, this is just part of, maybe he went to naturalnews.com, which was on some of my flyers, but, he talked about, aspartame and was sending out an email entitled Sweet Poison to, a few, you know, grown brown folk like myself. As part of a little family network there, and he was like, ah, yeah, got to go through my house, throw out some crap. You know, I thought sucralose, you know, wasn't bad, but then I found this website called Splenda Exposed, and there, and it was short, modern email style, like three lines or whatever, and you know, with little goofy smiley face or whatever the hell he did, but the bottom line is that's exactly what you're supposed to do. So there's two things. One, we can attack the system and the major institutions and show and track the results of those interactions. You know, what happened? You know, what happened when, you know, a whole bunch of you, you know, in your neighborhood, say 5-10 of you, got together and got a little petition with 500 signatures on it and then got a copy of the Fluoride Deception, you know, on DVD with... Christopher Bryson, journalist Christopher Bryson, in a half an hour summarizing basically in an interview the findings of his research into the research on fluoride done by tons of scientists for 100 years now, and the fact that it was used by the Soviets, the communists, and the Nazis on their prison populations to pacify them, to dumb them down, make them weak and lethargic, and so on, and it's an aluminum byproduct. The result of the manufacture of aluminum, and then it's out of mostly Florida smokestack scrubbers. And instead of throwing it out, which is an expensive process because it's toxic and you got to whatever, They managed to convince the dental industry to, endorse its use in the water supply to be ingested. Not saying it can't clean your teeth, but like Ajax or Windex probably do a better job on top. Just like at the dentist where they clean your teeth and then ask you to spit it out. No reason to drink that. No reason to eat that. Even tubes of toothpaste say if more than a pea-sized amount is swallowed by a child, please call a doctor or poison control. So blah, 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 blah. Fluoride's bad for us. Montreal and Vancouver don't use it. Do they know something that we should? And so you take a package to your city councilor, your MPP, your MP, your whoever, the media. And you say, look, this is like a little, you know, especially people that are supposed to, that you elected to represent you, though, because they have a professional obligation to deal with your concerns, especially if you represent them as not only yours, but those of, you know, your riding, the neighborhood that they're supposed to represent. And you take them a copy of the Fluoride Deception interview with Christopher Bryson, take them a copy of the article by Dr. Hardy Lineback in 1999, U of T professor who helped first put it in. And then later on said, get that crap out, that stuff's dangerous. After going through a bunch of studies, wrote a great article in 99. And so on. So you take a few of these things to them, and then you say, going to give you, they could ask you to respond to this within a month. Take you about 2 hours to review all this, an hour to read the article and watch the DVD, and then an hour to talk to us about it. And we want to record it, video, and we want to share it with other people here. We want to get your thoughts on this information because we find it compelling. We in this neighborhood find it compelling. We found it so compelling we did this and then brought you, the results of our work. That's how compelling we found this. And since we found it this compelling and you represent us, how do you find it? What do you find? What are your findings on these findings? And you can get, what the system's reaction is. And an MP, Libby Davies, was pestered by a petition with 500 signatures on it asking her to call for a new 9/11 investigation in Parliament. So she did. And she had the political cover fire she needed. Because, I'll give you an example. I'm going to henrymakow.com now. I'm going to henrymakow.com now. And incidentally, I've added a fifth show here on CKLN, Mondays, Word of Mouth Mondays, tonight at 7 p.m., from 7 to 8 p.m. Kind enough, my boss, program director here at CKLN, Ron Nelson, heard my guest hosting spot last Monday, thought it was pretty good, and at this time, what the heck, let's roll the dice and get some stuff done. So in prime time, moderate my style slightly. But I'm having, as a guest on the show, Dr. Henry Makow, M-A-K-O-W, because he's a genius and he deals with a lot of relationship issues, and that's what we care the most about these days. And how we relate to each other is ultimately going to determine, how we do against this beast system. But he met the Minister of Public Safety, and he has an article here called "I Meet the Minister of Public Safety." Where on an airplane he sat down beside Vic Toews, the Canadian Minister of Public Safety, on an economy airline flight. And so it's a phenomenal opportunity. He says, normally I wouldn't have talked to him. But at this point I was like, well, stroke of luck. And he says here, all right, so here's the article here. First, I confirmed that he was indeed Vic Toews, and I identified myself as a blogger on conspiracy and the NWO. So he's an honest and honorable man, Dr. Makow, Dr. Henry Makow. You can go to henrymakow.com for more of the work of him and his contributors. And you can listen to CKLN's Word of Mouth Monday, excuse me, tonight from 7 to 8 p.m., where Dr. Makow will be a guest in the show discussing male-female relations, the New World Order, where he sees this going, and sharing his wisdom and his insight. But I'm gonna give you a bit of that right now, too. So this is Dr. Makow talking. I suggested that the G20 mayhem was a black eye for Canada. First off, the $1 billion expense for security was ridiculous. Toews's response was to the effect that he was only a cabinet minister, that he has to listen to his, quote, experts. They tell him what security is necessary, and he has to listen. This dispelled any residual notions I had about our leaders actually leading. These, quote, experts might be like FDR's brain trust, i.e. handlers. So Dr. Macau goes on, I suggest that Canadians couldn't be too pleased about hundreds of peaceful protesters being handcuffed and thrown into cages in detention facilities for 24 hours. Not at all, he said, motioning to an item on his BlackBerry. The polls show the Canadians are pleased with the government's response. Again, polls, by the way, folks, polls are there to create our opinion. You know, I mean, they don't tell us how they ask the questions, and in many cases they ask questions that lead people to, you know, politely and conservatively and being nice and wanting to sort of agree with the pollster, you know, give certain answers. So, you know, they'll ask a question like, you know, do you think the police were too hard on violent protesters? And you know, people will be like, violent? I don't like violent. Police should be as hard as possible on violent people. And so they'll say no. And then the results of that in the paper will be, you know, people okay with, you know, police response. But that doesn't, that way of defining the question, you know, it wasn't open like, were you okay with the police response, which included a variety of things and which was really managed by the feds, who are kept out of the media conversation that we're being given right now, which is disgusting and ridiculous. All you, you know, CIA activist groups out there, all you fakeivist groups out there, just focusing on the cops. You know, at the top, you know, I got issues. At the bottom, I got solutions. Wake up. Understand that for a big international summit like this, foisted on Toronto by Stephen Harper, with 19,000, you know, 10 or 19, depending on who you talk to, cops, troops, mercs, and spooks there, and with the RCMP receiving the lion's share, $500 million of the $1 billion in security. And still not having spent a lot of it, because they admitted that. There was some news story I read on that where they were like, yeah, we haven't even, you know, we aren't even sure we're spending all that yet. So the fence itself cost $9.4 million, which is double the $5 million estimate. Where did the other billion go? Back, CKLN listeners. Anyway, bottom line is that you know, we've all got jobs to do, but there is a new world order at the same time, and we can't ignore that. So I live in two different realities. You know, every time I walk into a place, you know, and people are like, uh-oh. You know, I got to chill out. I went for Indian food with my pops, and we talked about a whole bunch of stuff, talked about my nephew and tennis and family and blah, 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 blah. And it's fine. It's just that, you know, really we should be, you know, like a bunch of free Jasons in back rooms going, okay, guys, you know, work's over at 5:30. You know, let's figure out how we're going to deal with the political system attacking us, the corporate fascist governance. You know, we really should be sneaking off and doing that all over the place. In 1776, they had committees of correspondence, and committees of correspondence were just that, where, you know, people would basically, you know, draft newsletters and write letters to each other and pass on information and analysis of what the problems were with the fascist British tyranny they were under, and how other people could understand it, how they could communicate it, how they could deal with it individually and collectively. And here we're sort of in a weird, you know, here in 2010, we're in a weird sort of no man's land where, you know, a lot of us know about it, but not many of us, you know, incorporate that knowledge into our lives in a consistent way that allows us to leverage that knowledge into results. And so that's where we've got to go next. And so there's a number of things we can do. Before the People's DJ, David James, takes you on a wild and wacky four-hour jazz experience like you will not regret if you do stick around, so please do. Let's just see what our main paper, our subway paper here has got to say to us. Because we're all in our jobs, and I'm lucky. I know I'm in a privileged position to be able to just go off like this. You know, I've been working to make sure I could. But I got to tell you, when I'm up there putting up posters all up in the streets, anybody can step to me. I'm not that big and that scary. And most people don't. A couple of them get ripped down here and there. You know, a couple insecure dudes, you know, might do that. But by and large, they're left. And by and large, I'm in the neighborhoods where I'm putting them up. And people can see me. And I get a lot of nods from men and women out there who kind of understand what I'm doing. And I'm trying to stay out of their way at the same time. You know, it's very, very weird here. But you know, I don't think that we can do this, you know, in ways that make it seem like we're embarrassed about, you know, knowing what's going on and speaking about what's going on. Because that just feeds on itself and that just perpetuates itself. And then we're a bunch of people with, you know, dirty little secrets like conspiraporno mags. And that's probably a mistake because we're in an environment where we can speak freely. We just don't feel like it. We're in an environment where we can share information about the dangers of fluoride and fluoridealert.org until we don't have to drink the crap anymore. It's just we can share information about GMO foods like seedsofdeception.com so we don't have to eat that crap anymore. And aspartame and vaccines and nobody got to get shot no more. You know, it's not that hard. It's already all been proven in this culture. It's been proven that it can be done and it can be accepted and we just don't feel like it. And so that gets us back to the music and to the bread and circuses. The Metro's got Spain, our new soccer leaders. And it's got the cover here. And it's got Mel Gibson dropped by talent agency. He's being attacked hard. Article on Infowars.com about that. I don't have time to get into it right now, but definitely going to let you know about that. At the top here, married, Underwood weds Senators Fisher, all the dish. So Carrie Underwood, married in Ottawa, sends hockey player. Sports, sex on the cover. Women won't be stoned. Controversial death sentence off for now in Iran. Demonization of Iran. They want to attack them. So that's why these things are played up. They don't talk about our problems. They just go, Iran's so evil. BP replacing oil spill cap. No guarantee the latest fix will work, oil giant says. Knowledgeable experts have called the BP oil spill sort of an environmental Chernobyl. And it is being used for a variety of reasons. Looks like it's engineered. People out down there are dying, you know, from what's happening. But again, you know, what can you do where you live? Because just getting mad about random things going on around the world ain't necessarily the best thing to do. Officer appealing prior to hearing. All right, so again, more cop stuff on the G20. Blue means go. T.O. Beaches score top marks. And again, the New World Order wants us partying. And we have a great city to party in. And we should party. It's just, you know, can we deal with real stuff and party? Would that not make us more well-rounded individuals? And would that not make sure that we can party in the future? So before I leave you, I will leave you with a couple of websites to check out. Infowars.com, great place to find a ton of info. Naturalnews.com, best website to pass on, in my opinion. Lots of health news. People go there and they might buy juju berries or whatever because it's a variety of things, not just, you know, the darkest depths of the police state and in the decade we're in. And trendsresearch.com, great financial news. Internationalforecast.com, great financial news. CanadiansForHealthFreedom.org, great news. H1N1 vaccine, information there, including people that have been affected. Probably 300-400 now have written in to say, yeah, this messed me up. Locally, pressfortruth.ca, great journalism company. Keep fresh what happened on our minds with respect to the G20. If martial law happens again, a bunch of guys are going to have to stash the wife and kids and form soccer walls on their property to sort of negotiate with the police peaceful solutions with respect to their places being searched and so on. So that's coming up next. You know, unless we, of course, get the word out more consistently. So go to pressfortruth.ca for a bit more on that. Interviewed Dan and Brian recently as well last week on Word of Mouth Mondays. You can go to my blog, blackkrishna.blogspot.com. Scroll down to find that. Or email me at blackkrishna@gmail.com, and I'll try and get back to you ASAP. TorontoTrueSeekers.com, still active on the streets. Going to be on the streets this Saturday. The Charles Street News with Victor Fletcher. Going to interview him soon here on CKLN Radio. Definitely flip a homeless guy, Tooney, and grab some info. Many, many, many more great sites out there. Conspiracy Culture Book and DVD Store, Queenie Roncevo's, where you can get more. But I got to leave you with this. Not sure how who's going to feel about what. But going to leave you with Riders by Eminem again because, heck, we need to find some. We need to be some. And you know what? It's more fun. It's more fun. It's more fun than knowing this stuff and being scared of it. It's more fun than saying, screw these guys. Tell them off. Like, if you're going to know about, you know, the vague sense that we're all might be screwed in the future, you know, what better thing to say than F them? And, you know, not F the world, but F them for the world. And that's the best way I can put it right now. Peace out, everybody. Have a great day here in the T-Dot.
We running this rap shit. Be single. We running this rap shit.
But why is there in my blood? I'm strangling you and fight for nothing. My signature is ligature, March.